You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Okay, good morning. Great to be here. Great to enjoy the presence of God. Great to hear amazing testimonies of what God's doing, because church isn't just for Sundays. God's not just for Sundays. He's there for us throughout the week. And I want to speak today. You can see what my title is: Big God, Big Vision. And before I speak, I want to really pray and ask the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, to open our minds, that we receive from Him. So maybe you could just pray with me too. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you that you've come and helped us exalt Jesus in our worship. And we give him all the praise. We give him all the glory. But I thank you that you've called your church, Lord, to shine for you, to bring you glory, to accomplish impossible things. And I want to ask, Lord, that you help us to see how big you are afresh and what an amazing dream you have that you're inviting us to be partakers with you in. So Holy Spirit, bring revelation, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Big God, big vision. In a week or so, we're going to be looking at Philippians, actually, a book, and we're going to use that to go through over the next couple of months. But today, I just want to share again, if you like, and remind us, and I'm hoping somehow to inspire faith and belief in God and in his plan and purpose for you and for us as a church. We're inspired by the recent visit to Bogota, some of us, and I spoke a couple of weeks ago on faith and faithfulness. And both are important. God loves faithfulness, but he expects faith too. And faith and faithfulness will enable us to be fruitful. And then last week I was talking about the theme of the conference, We Are the Light, encouraging us all to realize that you've been called to shine. And really encouraging us not to exclude ourselves from that calling, wherever the situation is, whether you're a mum at home or a teacher at school or a student or whatever your situation, God has called you to shine for him in that particular place. There's a light shining which he's put into us. He's called us to be the light of the world. And I want it, so really it was saying again, church, can you believe this? Wherever you are, you're called to shine for him. But today I want to get a bit more specific about LifeSpring vision and foundation that we're laying. And it's a distinctive of LifeSpring, but it needs our focus and our attention to complete it. So really I want to invite you to partner with us to help us fulfill the vision that God has given us. That's why I wanted to pray, come Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. Because I don't want you just to hear words again. Words can just go over your head. Or you can say, oh, we've heard Nev on that before. Or we've done this or we've done that. I want it to be fresh this morning. Fresh sense of calling that God has called you to be partakers with him. Here's one of my favorite verses from Ephesians. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul has a high expectation of the church, and so do I. Paul was expecting from the first century throughout all generations that the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't just fade away into insignificance, but rather is a church that brings glory and praise and honor to Jesus Christ, the founder of the church. Even with our failings, our weaknesses, our carnality, our imperfections, God has chosen to use you, He's chosen to use me, His Spirit working through us to do even more than we can ask or think. Isn't that incredible? I think that's amazing. That's because He's a big God with a big vision. He's a big God. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for Him. His name is above every name. Everybody is going to bow the knee at some time or another to King Jesus. I love what Paul says in Ephesians, that his plan is that everything comes under Jesus Christ. Everybody, everything. He's a big God. He's got all power. There's nobody more powerful. All authority. Nobody with more authority. He's dealt with death. He's dealt with sin. He's dealt with every situation in your life. He's a big God. Nothing is impossible for God. And He's got a big vision. And if those verses I read, he says He wants to accomplish not even close to our thinking, but infinitely more. Way beyond. You know, they're grappling with the universe, aren't they, at the moment? They have this thing in Switzerland or something, looking for the God particle. I'll tell you where the God particle is. He's in here. The God particle, He's come and He lives in each one of us. But all these eminent scientists and everybody else trying to work out how it all started. And I just read the other day they found some amazing caves and caverns somewhere else underneath the ground somewhere. They've even found another continent off Australia. And I'm thinking, what? How come we've not even found things like that before? God is so much more bigger than what the human mind can fathom. And He's the God we worship. He's the God that's chosen us. He is an amazing God. And He wants to do amazing things among us. So let me put it this way. If you can fulfill your dream, if you can fulfill your vision in your own strength, it's too small. It's not God's vision. If you don't need the Spirit, if you don't need faith, if you don't need the supernatural, think again. God's got a bigger plan. He's got a bigger vision for you. And how does His dream, this dream of God, which we will be looking at, get fulfilled? With partnership. We are called to be co-workers. We are called to be partakers with Him. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was one of the first invitations given to some of the first people Jesus met. It wasn't just come and have church. Let's just come and have a little cell, a little life group. Let's just come and have some fellowship and we can pray some prayers and sing some songs. No, come follow me and I'm going to train you to be fishers of men. That was right at the very beginning, God's heart, God's call being expressed through Jesus. He wants us to work with Him. And of course, we know at the end of Matthew, at the end of the gospel, yeah, His heart is to continue that work. Go and make disciples of all nations. See, so He's looking for partakers, those which are following Him, those are partnering with Him. And He's also looking for us to partner with each other. And even churches across the town and the nations. But let's just think about us for the moment. We're working together. We're sharing together. We're encouraging each other. We are His dream team. The team which is going to fulfill His dream. And so often we can't see what God wants us to do. You see, the enemy, by and large, has blinded the eyes of the church. Most have no vision and no purpose. I hope that's not true of us here. Most go to church rather than realize they are the church. For most, church is a Sunday service, whereas church on Sunday should be an overflow of a 24/7 lifestyle. This is church out there in the byways and in the offices and wherever we are. For others, church is just considered boring, irrelevant, and out of date. And if that is true of us, we need to repent. Because that's not the church that Jesus intended to found. That's not the church which is going to bring glory to Him. Rather, we should be radical, dangerous, and exciting, because the God particle, the Holy Spirit, God lives in us, and he wants to do amazing things. His will for our lives is always good and perfect. See, I'll move on. God doesn't look at the present. His eyes are on the future. The present may depress you, but the future is bright. I want you to remember that. God's not looking at the present. God's looking at the future. Let's join him and see what his plans are. So, for example, he sees a weary, downtrodden guy with low self-esteem. Mighty warrior. Gideon saw himself as weak, insignificant, beaten, least important in his family and clan. He was irrelevant. He was just hiding from the enemy around him in a wine press, trampling his wheat, just thinking, God, I've heard the stories, but where are you? Where are you? We're defeated people. We're this, that, and the other. The angel comes and says, mighty warrior. You see, God didn't see Gideon as that weak little defeated person in the wine press. God was looking to the future. He could see the potential that Gideon was going to become. And he actually, as he begins to believe God's word over him, and as he begins to see, yes, I'm called, I'm equipped, I'm anointed, I'm chosen and loved to lead Israel out of this mess. Yes, Lord, I will do it. And what happened? He completely routed the enemy. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, it was a minuscule little number in Gideon's band compared to the hordes of Midianites, which he completely routed. Because God didn't look at the devastation of the present. He saw what Gideon was going to become. He knew the calling of God, and that can apply to each one of you. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm low. Oh, there's nothing I can do. Oh, I've just got divorced. Oh, I've just lost my job. Oh. Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior, get up out of that wine press. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for your life too, because nothing is impossible with God. God sees an aging old man with no children. His name's called Abraham, exalted father. What does God do? This man with no children to his name, God says, I'm changing your name. Father of multitudes. God's looking to the future, not the present. There was nobody in the household. Father of multitudes, he calls to Abraham. And he begins and he promises to Abraham, you're not just going to have a son, you are going to be a father of multitudes. And the years went by. And they went by, and they went by. And biologically, it was getting more and more impossible. And he was beginning to wonder, can this be, can this be? But God saw him as the father of multitudes. And God spoke the word. The impossible was possible because of God. Of course, Abraham and Sarah had to do what they have to do to make babies. But it was the supernatural dimension which was so necessary in order for the promise, that impossible promise, to be fulfilled. And Isaac was born, the child of promise, totally supernatural. Abraham, if you read in Romans, it says he had to take his eyes off his own weakness and natural state, the present, and had to look to God who'd spoken the word and believe for the future. LifeSpring, I believe there's things here for each one of us to hear. Take your eyes off the present. Look to God's plan and purpose for the future, for yourself, for your family, for your children, for your ministry, for the church, for God's call on your life. Don't limit God by your circumstances. Paul says, the same verse that I read earlier on, different translation, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Gideon couldn't believe it. It was impossible, but it happened. Abraham knew it was impossible by now, but it happened. He can do more than you can even imagine in your wildest dreams. Church, can we dream big? Big God, big vision. I need to move on. But we need to believe the words. If we look at our culture, our eroding values as a nation, the rise of Islam, secularism, the hold of materialism and independence and selfishness. So all we're interested in before we found God was probably me, my family, my job, my career, my rights. If we look around at the darkness and the apathy towards the things of God, it would be very easy to lose hope. In fact, prophets of doom are already prophesying that it's too late for the UK and for Europe. You know, what happened in the past? Well, that was the past. It might be in Colombia now, it might be somewhere else, but yeah, this is the UK. You know, you need to understand. They're just looking with natural eyes. I can see all that as well, but I choose to believe God's got a greater plan for our nation and for our continent. We've decided that people aren't interested these days in the gospel, that the church in the West we know is in decline, the light is going out, blah, 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 gloom, gloom, gloom. And then a team comes from America last year and they go out into the streets of Reading and within a few weeks find 2,000 people are interested at the very least in praying a prayer and having the gospel shared with them in Reading. 2,000 people. Now the challenge, of course, is to connect from there to the church, but I'm not talking about that at the moment. I'm talking about 2,000 people on the streets of Reading, strangers willing to pray a prayer and asking Jesus into their lives. I thought they weren't interested. Think again. Think again. There's a lot more interest out there than you realize. Just this week, I had two cell leaders say to me, somebody has asked to come and join my cell, and both of them are not even saved. Can I come and join your cell? I'd like to come to that group of guys. That's happened twice this week. I don't want to ask people to come to cell. They wouldn't want to come. This is people that haven't been asked, and they were asking themselves to come. We got to think again. I think God wants to do way beyond what we can ask or think. Cynicism, unbelief, and negativity reign in our culture, especially our church culture. I'm going to go on a bit longer than 30 minutes, I just realized. I hope that's okay. Especially in our church culture, I've heard churches which are planning for decline rather than planning for growth. They're not expecting a light to shine or anything to change. And I wouldn't if we weren't prepared to change either. But I believe God's got a plan. He's got a plan for our nation and our continent. Hallelujah. We've got a choice. We can either be taken in by all of this fake news, that's the in thing, or we believe there is a future and there's a hope. We begin to believe the words of God, that the latter will be greater than the former. Eh? Wow. Do you see that? The Bible's always looking to the future. The future is always better. The present can be good, but the future is always better. Or we begin to believe the word of God that tells us, the words of Jesus that tell us the harvest is ripe. Don't say in a few months they might be ready. Go now, he says. And I want to say the harvest is ripe now. I've seen that on the streets of Reading. We're needing to learn how to harvest well, but there's an openness there which has completely taken me by surprise. Or we believe the prayer that Jesus asked us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as in heaven. People say John 17 is the prayer that's not been answered. This one hasn't been answered yet. Your will on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom breaking in, the will of God here on earth. I believe that's God's plan. I don't think it's just a prayer to pray, you know, at a religious service or a wedding or something. God says, pray that prayer. Your kingdom come, your will breaking in. That's his plan, that's his purpose. Hallelujah. Our job to bring heaven to earth. There's a spiritual battle. Light versus darkness. But look at the end of the book. The light wins. Hallelujah. You see, what are we basing our convictions on? What we see with our natural eyes or what God is saying and declaring and decreeing? Don't let the natural dominate the supernatural. So easy to do. ISO can so easily slip into that. Don't let the present determine your future. And so, yes, in the midst of darkness and apathy, God's calling us to shine. And he's given us a vision. I want to read from Acts. This is towards the end of Paul's life. He's recounting his conversion to King Agrippa. And so he's saying that this light came from heaven and the voice was heard and it said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see, seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa," he says towards the end of his life, "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." Or, I like the Message, says this, "What could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I became an obedient believer on the spot." I haven't got time to tell you about Paul, but he was going in the wrong direction, and an encounter with God completely changed and transformed his life. And towards the end of that encounter, the prophecy was given, the word was given through a prophet. He was told what he was going to do. And he could say now, "And I was not disobedient to that vision from heaven." I want to be able to say that too. We've enjoyed many blessings over the years. We've experienced times of refreshing, times of moving, God moving powerfully. I remember all sorts of strange, even bizarre manifestations, didn't quite know what was happening. I remember a time when visiting speakers came and we were at the school and they never even got up to speak because all around there were bodies on the floor. God just came and touched lives and the people were just being impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've had a wonderful privilege traveling to revival centers in the USA, in Argentina and in Canada. And I've been inspired and blessed by what I've seen. But then I went to Colombia and I was caught by a vision. We saw a church loving God and living for him. We saw their passion for souls. We saw the lost souls respond in their hundreds. And we were told every week they come in their hundreds to give their lives to the Lord. We saw their cells. We saw their heart for the city and their nation. We saw their love and respect for their leaders and pastors. We saw their families. And we came back with a massive challenge. That was just Jackie and I at that time. What we'd seen came with a price. Could we afford to pay the price to see that here in the UK? Would we be prepared to sacrifice, to completely dedicate and give our lives to the purposes of God rather than having a mixture and everything else? And I realized that treasure which we'd seen, and some of us saw again recently, to get the treasure you have to buy the field. And that was a challenge. Could we pay the price? It was like the pearl of great price. You had to get this pearl, we had to let go of all these other good things in order to get this great thing, this great vision, this great blessing. And that's how we came back. And as an eldership at the time, we discussed, we prayed, we heard, and we said, yes, yes, this is God's plan. Yes, yes, let's say all the good of the past we may need to let go of, but it was something greater coming. And for the sake of that, we'll go for it. And I felt, and the vision got attacked, and the pastors got attacked, and the church got attacked, and many walked away, and Jackie and I were thinking, can we stay connected? And we looked at each other and said, where can we go? We've seen something. We've tasted something. We can't go back. There's something which we're still looking to get hold of for the future, but we can't go back. To us, it was like God's given us a gift for Reading, a heart, a strategy to impact our town with his gospel. And that was 10 or 12 years ago. So the vision, I'm going to have to rush through some of this. I read the vision. It's the same one given to Paul to open the eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that people may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified. It's God changing lives. It's souls responding. It's the same vision that John Wesley had. It's the same vision that William Booth had, founder of the Salvation Army. Same vision that Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, Pastor Caesar. You know, we're not finding, it's not an obscure thing. This is the plan of God. It's the same vision every evangelical church should have too. It's a message of repentance and forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit changing lives. It's about redemption, renewal, restoration, and discipleship. It's the gospel. And I feel part of my call at LifeSpring is, as J. John put it once, you know, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's why I come back so often just to share a little bit more about vision, because for me it's the main thing to keep the main thing the main thing, so that we will not be disobedient to the vision God has given us. And it's the same vision of Jesus. But although he came for the multitudes and died for the multitudes, his strategy to win the multitudes was to disciple 12 men. I want us to be clear about something. Jesus' vision wasn't 12 disciples. Jesus' vision wasn't to start a religion or to start a church. Jesus' vision wasn't the Great Commission. All of that is a means to fulfilling the vision. His vision was the world. God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. It's world conquest. It's the love of God, the power of God, changing lives. It's the vision is to call sons and daughters from every nation, every continent, to be part of his family and enjoy fellowship with him. You can express it in many different ways, but this is the dream of God, and he's called you and me to help make this dream a reality where we are. And just as he formed a team of 12 because his vision was for the nations, so, church, we too are forming teams of 12. Matthew tells us this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He had a heart for the multitudes because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." That applies today. "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Note the compassion. Note his heart was moved. Note there was prayer. We're light on prayer. We need to pray more. I believe that. You know, we need to pray for workers. And then the scripture continues. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. The answer to reaching the multitudes was forming a team of 12. That was Jesus' way to reach the multitudes. To reap the harvest, we need teams of 12. I love church. It's the hope of the world. I love the color, different cultures, different food especially, different emphases, ages, style. I love church. It's where the Holy Spirit dwells. It's where he comes. We are together, the temple of the Holy Spirit. I love the different visions we carry, visions for youth, visions for children, visions for community. If we had time, we'd be sharing a little bit about all of this, for worship, for the workplace, for media. I'm somebody that probably says yes too often rather than no, and maybe we spread ourselves a bit thin, but I just love it when people have got a heart and a vision for staff, you know. I do think maybe a little bit of wisdom would have been not quite so saying yes so often. But underneath all of this life, underneath these different expressions of church, we're committed to forming teams of 12, just like Jesus did, to empower and to win souls and to make disciples. And I'm going to ask right now my team of 12 and Jackie's team of 12, those of us which are here, if you'd like to come forward, please, up onto the stage. And I'm going to ask them one or two questions in a moment or two, or some of them. But can you imagine the impact, if not just two teams of 12 disciples, Can you imagine if two teams of 12 disciples with cells of 12 who are also being trained and equipped to disciple 12 others? Can you imagine the impact? Did you know that's what our logo is? It's not just a leader and 12 guys or 12 women. It's a logo is a leader of 12 leaders who are leading 12. I don't know if you're good at maths, but we're getting to 144. Could you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the impact 144 would have? And these guys are us ordinary guys. Somebody said to me once, they're being a little bit judgmental. You know, we tend to be that sometimes, don't we? We just need to get that out of the way. Spoke about that the other day. Yeah, I'm really surprised that you've got so-and-so in your team and so-and-so in your team. You know, I know they've got a struggle here and they've got a struggle there and really blah, 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 blah. I said, you know, just before Jesus died, his disciples were still squabbling and all sorts of problems and all sorts of this, that, and the other. Do you remember the sons of thunder and Jesus had to deal with them? I said, these aren't perfect. These aren't the most mature people in the church, but these are willing people. These are people who said, yes, I want to work with you, Nev and Jackie. I want to help you fulfill this vision, touching Reading and beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be part of your 12. I'm going to open cells. I'm going to have 12 disciples too. And when each one of these guys fulfills that vision, 12 disciples each, you worked out your sums? 288 leaders here in Lifespring Church wanting to open their cells too. I want to say, Lifespring, that is the vision. That's what we've seen. We've seen the power, the multiplication that comes through 144. Jackie and I completed our 12. I need another mic. I just want to ask one or two people. I've got older people like John. I'm so pleased that John's with me. I've got younger people like Stephen. So pleased Stephen's with me. And Jackie's got a whole lot of different bunch of people. Dickie, did you get my text? Okay.
Sounds a bit old.
Dickie, just tell us, how many people in your cell?
11.
Wow. Not far off. One to go. Dickie, what challenge? Just tell us one challenge that you face to complete your 12.
I think believing that I can leave 12 people to reach out to another 12 people and to really see that rather than and to moving on from being they're a really lovely group of guys and we love each other, but moving on from that to actually impact our community. And, okay. And we tend to be a little bit like a house group, which is fine, but obviously from what you've said and what I'm believing, it needs to be more than that.
Amen.
And so that's the challenge.
A challenge of faith.
Yeah.
A challenge to believe. Amen. Who else did I say? Johnny. Johnny, how many in your cell?
I've got about 7 regulars.
7 regulars. Yeah. Johnny, what's changed? What makes you think that you can complete that 12 and have 12 disciples?
Well, I think because it's the vision that you have set for us and understanding that Jesus loves me so much and that no matter what I do and how well I'm going to do, it is his vision at the end of the day and it is through his power that I will be able to achieve the vision.
Okay. Amen. Amen. So very similar here. It's faith, it's power, it's the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
It's a supernatural vision, by the way. Dan, you just started a cell how long ago?
7 months.
7 months. And how many do you have in your cell?
About 7 or 8 regulars.
I know you've got plans for more. Yep. What's the challenge that you face, Dan?
The challenge, basically on a personal level, is to lay down my life every day. I know that if I lay down my life every day and I give it all to Jesus and follow Jesus in every area of my life, then 12 is easy.
Okay. Dan, you've got 30 seconds. Can you just tell us what you're doing with energy and cells? Because I was so excited to hear about that.
Okay, yeah, we're trying to form somehow get this kind of cell structure into the children's work. And one way we've realised is through energy, is to hopefully go to having kids out the whole time, whole session, and forming little cell groups just to get the mindset of discipling right from a young age.
And you've done that for 2 or 3 months now?
Yeah, we tried that a couple of times. It's gone really well. It's just a matter of the logistics and working out and finding the right people to lead those sales as well.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting? Sales in energy. Wow, I love it. I'm not going to pick on people I've not warned, but you might not have read the text. Hannah, did you get your text?
Nope.
Did you send these texts?
I did send the text about half an hour ago.
I don't look at my phone at church, so maybe that's why.
No, it was before then. Okay. You were impacted by Bogota recently.
Yes.
You're in Jackie's 12.
Yep.
But you don't have a cell.
Well, you say that, but I have 22 people I pray for every day. And in the last 2 weeks, I've met up with 12 and I have prayed with four.
Amen. And Hannah, you're going to be opening a cell soon.
Yep.
And you've got 22 people on your list already.
Yep.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
Let's pray
with
Hannah.
God is amazing.
Yeah. You get the text?
Yeah.
Heather got my text. Heather, how many in your cell?
12 or thereabouts. It fluctuates a little, but yeah.
Thereabouts. Yeah. Okay. Which of those questions would you like to answer?
The challenge. Okay. I think the biggest challenge is to mix everything with faith, because you can end up doing what you do and just being faithful to that. And sometimes it can feel small compared to the need. And it's like the loaves and fishes, and it's just all the time mixing it with faith and believing God to do more.
Yeah. Brilliant. And Deb's on the end there. Did you get my text? Be honest.
Yes.
How many in your cell, Debs?
13,
okay. And Debs, you've released a few as well, so you've actually grown your cell quite well over the years, haven't you?
Thank you for taking the
good people away and leaving you with good people.
Fabulous people.
Debs, just give us a couple of tips or a key or something that had to change, that's changed in your thinking. And, you know, what's changed to enable you to believe for a 12?
Got to limit it. I could go on to a whole sermon now. Control. I think it's really getting to grips with the fact that you're following Jesus and you're wanting to follow him in such a way that other people can follow you as you follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it means there's lots of times when I have to make a decision. Hang on, I'm being somebody that other people can follow. So I can't do that, or I've got to rein that attitude in, or whatever. And I think it's just when you start believing who you are, that you're a follower of Jesus, that's who you are, that's my identity, it means you lose a lot of inadequacy and insecurity and self-doubt and things like that that kind of normally make you a bit apologetic, and you start actually, no, this is who I am, and this is who I see you are, and we're in it together. We're all going to follow Jesus. That's my little thing.
What a good answer. What a good answer. There's a challenge here. There's a challenge, big challenge. And it starts with me and Jackie believing in these people on this stage. Most of you, very honest with me. Tell me what struggles you're facing. Tell me what great things you're going through. But I believe in each of these guys, and I think there's one or two missing. John's not here, but I believe in each of these guys that they can actually do what God's calling them to do, even in our busy society. Their challenge is to believe that they can do it too. So I believe God's called them, and God has called them to work that through. And so the big challenge of faith comes into that. Just talking to somebody yesterday, it was, the time, how is it going to happen? We trust God. He's the one that has to enable it to happen. And I just want to say, guys, we've not had you on the stage before, and I just want to say you are such an amazing team. And coming out of this team, I declare, I prophesy, 288 leaders, which you will be leading and shaping and forming. To get a big church? No, not to get a big church. That's irrelevant. To impact a town, to impact a nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there might be people sitting out there and up there who are not in one of these cells. And there are other cells, by the way. This is just the 24 guys up here. There's another half dozen or so cells which they're already looking after. There may be people sitting here who are not in a cell. I want to ask you, can you help us fulfill a vision to impact a city with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you might want to talk to some of these guys up here that you recognize and say, well, I didn't know you had a cell. I'd like, not if you're in one already. If you're not in a cell, you know, I'd like to be in your cell. I'd like to come and, you know, I'd like to be part of that. That's the invitation which I want to put to you. Thank you guys just for coming up and just showing us who you are. I just got a minute or two left to close, and I'm going to hand over to Craig. He's going to bring the gospel and lead us to the end. So the vision, 144. 144 is the key to multiplication. Bishop Oriel's challenged us to complete this 144, and I've extended it. I'm going to tell you a secret. By June. Got 3 months, or whatever, to open cells for some, to complete cells by June. I like goals, but, and I'm believing we can hit that. If we don't, okay, that's another thing. We're still going to go for it. Because I believe if we can establish in this church 2 144s, that will be the basis which all the different ministries in life will begin to flow from. Matt, yeah, make your way up here. That would be great. The only way to change cities and nations is by forming disciples. And the best way I know is Jesus' way. Can you imagine the impact? Talking today a lot about imagination. I realize I imagine in worship. Yeah, we were singing today, weren't we, about it beautiful and glorious. And that's not just a bit of paper or a few words. I didn't realize this. I'm imagining, when I'm singing it's beautiful, I imagine beauty. I imagine glory. I imagine Jesus. You know, I'm not getting a clear picture like that all the time. But I realize my imagination touches with these songs. Imagination's from God. Imagination's good. And I've been encouraging my guys, imagine 12. Can you imagine these leaders? Can you imagine these leaders in the schools, in the colleges, in politics, in business? Disciples of Jesus Christ. Priestly families, loving God, loving each other, loving the vision together. Can you imagine? Big God. Big vision. Can I just have an amen? Yeah, is it possible? Of course it is. Is it too hard for God? Of course it's not. But we need to dream and we need to believe. And maybe for the first time in our country, we can see two teams of 144 established. It's our vision. It's what I believe I've been entrusted to do. And like Paul says, I don't want to be disobedient to that vision. I believe he's given us some keys which we need to respond to. And of course, that's not the only expression of church. Of course, all those other emphases which we have and we carry are so, so important. But my prayer today, my appeal today, is together. Can we join together in love and in unity and make his vision for LifeSpring Church a reality? Can we stand together? If we could just have the keys down slightly, please. I want to just pray. Lord, I've risked sharing what is on Jackie's in my heart. I've risked sharing it publicly. But I want people to know. I believe, Lord, it's way beyond what we have ever imagined in the past. And Lord, we've just thought about 12s, but Lord, it's 144s. It's generations to impact a city. I want to ask, Lord, that you help us to see afresh you're a big God. Nothing's impossible. And you've got a big vision. And there may be other ways, Lord, of forming disciples, but at the end of the day, we're doing what you did, and you said, follow me. You said, follow me. Well, that's what we're doing, forming teams of 12 like you did. Because you've given us a heart for the town and for the nations. I want to ask you, Lord, touch our hearts. Deal with unbelief. Deal with lack of faith. Let us look beyond the present to see the future. Release your revelation afresh right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.